All right, Hotep, everybody. Hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, founder of the African History Network, host of the African History Network show. I'm a talk show host, researcher, lecturer, and writer. It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2019, and we are live. So everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page, invite your friends to tune in also. Hope everybody's doing well today. All right, so I wanted to talk about this topic. You know, these were some very disturbing stories, news stories that I saw during February and March of 2019 and did not get a chance to get to. February, and you know, so busy, and March has been hectic, but I wanted to get to these stories, right? And this deals with teaching the history of slavery in our schools, okay? And you've heard me talk about this before. And you have cases of mock slave auctions. You have cases of a monopoly-like slave role-playing game, things like this taking place in schools. And when things like this happens, this traumatizes African-American students. It can oftentimes traumatize African-American students. And this draws more attention to the fact that the history of slavery is largely being mistaught in our schools. And it deals with the consequences of that also, okay? So, that's some of what we're going to talk about here, all right? So everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in as well. We're going to post the topic here also. And I'm trying to make sure this is broadcasting as well. I'm not sure where it went, all right? Okay, so I saw a couple news stories, one from NBC News, dealing with this slavery, this monopoly-like slavery game. I saw one dealing with, let's see here, when we look at CBS 17, which is a CBS affiliate in Wilmington, North Carolina, you had a slavery-like monopoly game called Escaping Slavery, and it's an Underground Railroad board game. Underground Railroad board game, and this is designed to teach about the history of the Underground Railroad and make it interactive, etc. And when I saw this story, there was another story I saw from NBCNews.com dealing with, or I think it was NBC News, one from PIX11.com also, dealing with in the New York area. And Bronxville, New York, a child traumatized by slavery lesson at Westchester School. And in this instance here, you had a teacher who had the African-American children pretend to be slaves at a slave auction, and the white children had the opportunity to bid on them, okay? And one of the African-American children went home and told his mother about it, and she gets in touch with the school. And he was basically traumatized. She was upset as well, okay? So these are things that are taking place. This is real. And when the history of slavery is mistaught in our schools, it causes wide-ranging ramifications. Right now, you have a lot of people talking about reparations. You have, Julian Castro on the Tom Joyner Morning Show this morning, Roland Martin interviewed him, and he's the former Secretary of HUD. And he's talking about the need for reparations. Senator Elizabeth Warren, you have Senator Kamala Harris, right? And there's been a push for reparations for years. H.R. 40, sponsored by John Conyers, okay, who was in Congress for 50 years. You have Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who has taken up the fight in the Congressional Black Caucus to really lead that and push for H.R. 40. You have in COBRA, you have a number of different organizations. You had people like Queen Mother Moore, Reparations Ray Jenkins from Detroit, who, you know, these are ancestors. So there's a long history of African Americans fighting for reparations. But what happens is when people don't understand the history of slavery in this country, then they'll say things like, well, my ancestors never owned slaves, you know, all white people didn't own slaves, you know that ended 154 years ago. Chattel slavery ended 154 years ago. Why are we still talking about that today? So this information I'm going to share with you ties right into this history and shows why it's so important, because understanding the history of slavery ties into white supremacy and racism. It ties to systemic inequities, okay, and how those still negatively impact African Americans, but negatively impact America as a whole today. So there was one good article, and it looks like I'm trying to pull this up here on Facebook. Okay, everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also, okay? An African-American business owner is supposed to name your business here on the thread of the broadcast. We'll let you know how you can advertise with us. Okay, so Vox.com had a good article for March 13th, 2019. March 13th, 2019, called American Schools Can't Figure Out How to Teach Kids About Slavery. Okay, this is just a few days ago. American schools can't figure out how to teach kids about slavery. A New York teacher's alleged mock slave auction is part of a larger problem. All right. And also, people, you know, I'll post a link to this. You've heard me talk about this study before, and this study is mentioned in this article. Now, this is from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Law Center, SPLC.org. It is called Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. And this is a 52-page study put together by the educational experts that shows how the history of slavery is being incorrectly taught in our schools, and they make really good suggestions on how to correctly teach the history of slavery at all different age levels. Okay, so a white teacher at an affluent New York private school has been accused of holding a mock slave auction, for her students, in which white fifth graders pretended to bid on their African American peers. Okay? Now, I'm going to share with you in a minute, I'm going to share with you the interview that was done with this teacher also. Okay? And her name is Rebecca Antonozzi. Rebecca Antonozzi. And New York's PIX 11 News covered this story. So in a few minutes, I'll share an interview that was done with her where she explains her side of the story and how she didn't mean anything by it. She's very remorseful, etc. Okay? But it still didn't make any sense. Okay? That's the thing. It still really didn't make any sense. Okay, so. And how you doing, Jessica, Delmer? Where can I buy it? Where can you buy what, Delmer? This, if you're talking about this study, SPLCenter.org. SPLCenter.org is free. Download it. I took it to the printer and got it printed. Okay, that's why it looks like this. But it's called Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. We'll post the link here. Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Okay. All right. So. So, yes, this is seriously happening in 2019. This is a real news story. A white teacher at an affluent New York private school has been accused of holding a mock slave auction for her students, in which white fifth graders pretended to bid on their black peers. All right. And so you had that happen like the week before. And it's merely the latest in a long line of high profile controversies revolving around poorly conceived lessons about slavery in American schools. poorly conceived lessons about slavery in American schools. Okay, so the latest story comes from the Chapel School in Bronxville, New York, which is a private school in an affluent, predominantly white neighborhood north of Manhattan. Now, according to New York's PIX Channel 11 News, fifth grade teacher Rebecca Antonozzi allegedly had her black students leave the classroom and, according to one student, pretend, quote, to put imaginary chains along our necks and wrists and shackles on our ankles, end quote. Now, on Sister Circle Live on TV1, they talked about this story briefly, and the women on there were outraged also over this. Now, the teacher then led the students back to the classroom where their white classmates, quote, were encouraged to bid on them, B-I-D, encouraged to bid on them, quote, according to PIX and Left Channel 11 News. Now, Rebecca Antonozzi reportedly pretended to be a slave auctioneer during the simulation. Now, the classroom activity received attention after an African-American parent at the school complained, saying that her son was humiliated by this exercise, okay? Now, the mother's name is Vernex Harding. She said, "I'm shocked and infuriated that this happened to my son." And she was interviewed by PIX 11, and it was also reported by the New York Daily News, okay? So we're going to go to the interview with Vernex Harding, whose son attends this school. We'll go to that interview here in just a minute. All right. Now the school has launched an investigation into the incident, calling the alleged mock auction, quote, racially insensitive and hurtful, in an email to the school. Now, Rebecca, the teacher, Rebecca Antonozzi, has been removed from class and has hired an attorney who argues that, quote, the portrayal of the history lesson that has been reported is inaccurate. This is what her attorney is saying. The portrayal of the history lesson that has been reported is inaccurate, out of context, and contains false facts. Now, also, the new New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who I call Queen Letitia, she's a sister, Letitia James, says that her office is monitoring the incident. We know that NBC News has an article dealing with this, NBCNews.com. Teachers alleged mock slave auction in fifth grade class prompts AG response. The report of racist lessons by a teacher at the Chapel School are deeply troubling, said New York Attorney General Letitia James. My office is monitoring this matter closely. Okay. Now, this school, annual tuition at the Chapel School, which enrolls students in pre-K through eighth grade, costs up to $14,000 a year. Annual tuition. Damn, you can go, yeah, you can go to some colleges. That's a year's worth of tuition in some colleges. You know, like Wayne State University here in Detroit. Damn. All right. Now, okay. So let's go to this interview from PIX Channel 11. Let's see if we can get this going here. It's acting up. Why is this doing this here? Okay. I want to go to this interview. How's everybody doing? And the reason why teaching this history is so important is the policies that exist today are based upon people's understanding of the issues. The issues come out of historical circumstances. Slavery was public policy. Slavery was law. Okay? Slavery was legal. All right? This is what people have to understand. This is why I try to explain to people is like, you know, when it comes to reparations, people don't seem to understand. It has to go through Congress. It ain't just about a president. It has to go through Congress.
I'm getting teary-eyed about it because it's just like, how can somebody do this to my son? Vernex Harding sat her 10-year-old son down for a tough conversation about cultural understanding. She's telling her story exclusively to Pix 11. Harding says her child was traumatized after a hands-on lesson.
Alright, let's start back up and again. It's buffering.
About slavery, it felt all too real.
She told all the African-American students to raise their hands and proceeded with this. This exercise.
The exercise was a mock slave auction. Harding's son told her he and two other African-Americans in their fifth grade class were brought into the hallway.
She started to put imaginary chains along our neck, our wrists, and our shackles on our ankles. And as soon as she did that, Mommy, I knew it was wrong.
When they were brought back into the classroom, they were lined up.
Can
the teacher then asked other students to start bidding to buy them.
She reiterated and said, you look like a wealthy white man. How about 300? Just started a bidding with the children.
The mock slave auction of African-American students happened Tuesday at the Chapel School in Bronxville. Parents are now livid and organizing. One sent us this email from the principal. He called the lesson racially insensitive and hurtful. A school investigation is now underway. For now, the social studies teacher who led the lesson has been removed from the classroom, and tonight, parents are being called to the school for emergency meetings. Our sources in the Attorney General's office tell us Letitia James is aware of the parents' concerns here, and the AG's office is now monitoring the school's response.
Okay, so that's from PIX 11 there in the New York area, all right? So when we look at this, and I'm going to give you the response from the teacher. I'm going to let you hear the response from the teacher here in just a minute. And you heard the parent there, Vernex Harding, whose son was in that class. So the school has launched an investigation into the incident, calling the alleged mock auction, quote, racially insensitive and hurtful, end quote, in an email. Now, the teacher, Rebecca Antonozzi, has been removed from class and has hired an attorney who argues that the portrayal of the lesson that has been reported is inaccurate, out of context, etc. Now, coming just weeks after the end of a particularly insulting African-American History Month, marked by similar controversies in other schools, the story of the alleged classroom mock auction, fits into a broader pattern of ill-conceived or outright offensive classroom simulations about slavery. Ill-conceived or outright offensive simulations about slavery. Collectively, these incidents reveal just how bad American schools still are at educating students about slavery and how it has shaped American history. To understand the history of America, you have to understand the history of slavery. You have to understand the history of white supremacy and racism. To understand the policies that were put in place, whether it's Jim Crow, whether it's Supreme Court cases like Brown versus Board of Education, and also, it's important to understand what happened after Brown versus Board of Education was enacted. The governor of Virginia shut down all the schools in the state of Virginia because they didn't want to desegregate the schools. The White Citizens Council was created in Mississippi in 1954. Brown versus Board of Education was May 1954 Supreme Court decision. Right after that, you have the White Citizens Council founded in Mississippi, and it spreads all throughout the South. Okay? And it's going to be Brown versus Board of Education that really lets African Americans in Montgomery, Alabama know that they can get some justice if they take their case to the U.S. Supreme Court as opposed to local courts and state courts. Because Brown versus Board of Education overturned Plessy versus Ferguson, U.S. Supreme Court case, 1896, which legalized separate and equal, which legalized the Jim Crow laws. So to understand these policies, you have to understand history. Okay? Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand the policies, don't understand politics, don't understand the laws, and don't understand history. All these laws and policies are put in place to largely deal with historical events or to deal with circumstances that are the results of historical events or circumstances that are also the side effects of bad public policy. But you have to understand history to be able to understand all of this. All right? So let's continue here. Okay, so there's been plenty of examples of highly questionable lessons about slavery in schools, okay? We've talked about some of them here. All right, now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the response from the teacher. I want you to hear that also, the response from the teacher, okay? Now, the principal of the Chapel School, where this took place, told NBC News that a third party is conducting an independent review. On behalf of the Chapel School, I extend my sincerest apologies to our students, their families, and the community, said Michael Schultz. The reported racial insensitivity is unacceptable, and we do not condone any action that demeans anyone. Okay? Quote, unquote. Now, the law firm representing the teacher, the name of that law firm is Cuddy and Feder, F-E-D-E-R. And they said that a slave auction never took place, according to them. All right? And I'm going to cue up this video because I want you to hear what the teacher has to say. All right, now, quote, to the extent anyone took offense to a small portion of the overall lesson that day that was used to solely emphasize the tragic injustice of slavery, it certainly was never intended, okay? It certainly was never intended. And a partner at this law firm made these statements to NBC News. Quote, she looks forward to continuing teaching with the same dedication, sensitivity, and passion that she has always shown. All right. Now, these allegations have prompted a response from the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. Quote, the reports of racist lessons by a teacher at the Chapel School are deeply troubling. Letitia James told NBC News, my office is monitoring this matter closely. Okay. All right, let's see. I'm not sure why this clip is not playing. Let's refresh the screen. All right, we'll come back to that. Okay, so now as the New York story was unfolding, you also have a story out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Okay, another disturbing story. And some of you all saw this. We posted about this on our Facebook fan page, The African History Network, The African History Network. You had a Monopoly-like role-playing game called Escaping Slavery. And this game is designed to teach students about the Underground Railroad, okay? It's a Monopoly-like role-playing game. It's called Escaping Slavery, okay? Who was the genius that came up with this? All right, now, the grandparent of an African-American student at the school argued that the game was offensive, noting that it included cartoon images of shackles and enslaved families. One part of the game required students to use a quote-unquote freedom punch card. The grandparent said, if your group runs into trouble four times, you will be severely punished and sent back to the plantation to work as a slave, the card said, okay? Who the hell came up with something like this? Because, see, when you read this study here, and see, this is why the studies are so important, because they give guidance. When you read studies like this, they tell you, don't use slave reenactments, don't do stuff like this. It is harmful to the children, okay? And it also, another problem is a lot of times in the history books that are used in our schools, not just our schools, but the white schools also, a lot of times in the history books, the largest representation of African Americans is that of being enslaved Africans. Okay? So then what it does is it gives white children a skewed perspective of their African American classmates, because they're being seen largely in history as enslaved Africans, as pieces of property, as conquered and shackled in chains. All right? And if as they grow up, if that perception is not corrected with the accurate history, then they'll go on to be politicians, presidents, CEOs of corporations, police officers, prosecuting attorneys, judges, okay? Human resource directors at corporations, and it doesn't get corrected. This is why history has to be properly taught in our schools. Okay? All right. Now, so you have this freedom, you have this role-playing game that includes a freedom punch card. If your group runs into trouble four times, you will be severely punished and sent back to the plantation to work as a slave. Okay, the card said. Now, a few weeks before that, a school in Loudoun County, Virginia, was criticized. They were criticized for having students run an obstacle course intended to simulate moving through the Underground Railroad. People, don't do this. Simulate moving through the Underground Railroad. The school said that the lesson was intended to teach teamwork and communication, adding that students were not explicitly told to think of themselves as enslaved people during the activity. Well, let me help you out here. If you're talking about moving along the Underground Railroad, okay, and it's intended to teach teamwork and communication, who do you think was on the Underground Railroad? I mean, the Underground Railroad wasn't for Hispanics. It wasn't for Asians. I mean, what are you talking about? We didn't explicitly tell them to think of themselves as slaves. Well, what did you think they were going to think of themselves as? Railroad cars? I mean, what are you talking about? So, and in the month of February in South Carolina, okay, an African-American mother complained after she learned that her son went on a school field trip where students picked cotton. Listen to this. This is a school field trip. Students pick cotton while singing songs, and the parent was arguing that this activity was inappropriate. Now, Roland Martin on his Daily Digital show, and we broadcast it, we show it here live. Roland Martin Unfiltered, he covered this story, and he showed like a video of it. And these kids are out in the field picking cotton, singing slave songs, and they're being told, you know, pick faster, I can't hear you, things like this. And it's supposed to teach them about the Great Depression. So the boy's school district apologized. The boy who was on this field trip, his school district apologized, but instructors at the trip site where the trip was countered that students were learning about the Great Depression, adding that students have been taken on the trip for nearly 15 years and that the trip site is an old school run by black instructors. Yeah, but when you have them out picking cotton, and so Fox Channel 46 in Charlotte, the Fox affiliate in Charlotte, when you read this article from Vox.com, they have the picture, I think it's the video there also, okay? And it says, a South Carolina mom says she's furious after fifth graders were told to pick cotton, sing slave songs as a game to learn about the Great Depression. So what happens is when you have these role plays that take place, right, there's a level of insensitivity. Even if the teacher doesn't mean to be insensitive, this traumatizes African-American students. And then it shows them to their white counterparts as being slaves. It depicts them as being slaves, which also dehumanizes them as well. Okay, so this is really deep. And this is one of the reasons why more African-American parents are choosing to homeschool their children. Because of nonsense like this. This is one of the reasons why. Okay? All right, let's see here. This is running slowly for some reason. Maybe it's because I have 60 tabs opened up in Firefox. So I'm going to see if we can pull this up on the other laptop. All right? All right, so now these are just a few examples, but there are many, many, many more examples of this taking place in our schools across the country. Now, a lot of states are struggling to teach the full history of slavery. That struggle is having a big impact on students also, okay? And let me pull up this clip here. How's everybody doing? Go ahead and post your comments here. African-American business owners, post the name of your business here on the thread of the broadcast. Visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Email us, customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, okay? And we'll let you know how you can advertise with the African History Network and help promote your black-owned business, okay? So post the name of your business here on the thread of the broadcast also. All right. Okay, so Westchester News Channel 12 had an article, "I Teach With My Heart." Let me bring this up here. "I Teach With My Heart." Teacher pushes back amid slavery lesson firestorm. Okay, let's try to pull this up here.
Now, this white teacher accused of lining up African American students and staging this.
Absolutely not. Would never ever put chains on them.
Well, this local social studies teacher defending herself over accusations of staging a mock slave auction at an elite private school in Westchester. That story aired here on 12 and made international headlines. Now, this white teacher accused of lining up African-American students and staging this mock slave auction. Well, tonight that teacher is breaking her silence to News 12's Tara Rosenblum.
How did you feel when you saw your name and slave auction in a headline that circled the globe?
I have not been able to function, and I couldn't even look at the words on the paper because I know what was true, and I know my intentions is to never hurt or offend or upset anyone.
The Westchester private school teacher making international headlines after being accused of taking a history lesson on slavery too far is speaking out for the first time.
I've been getting panic attacks, waking up in the middle of the night.
The firestorm ignited after a parent accused fifth grade teacher Rebecca Antonazzi of staging a mock slave auction 2 weeks ago inside her classroom at the Chapel School in Bronxville, in which black students, she claimed, were placed in imaginary chains while white students bit on them. Point blank, did you hold a mock slave auction in your classroom?
Absolutely not. It was a false accusation.
Antonazzi insists her goal was simply to bring history alive to an inquisitive classroom learning all about colonial America.
So we were reading the sentence that says indentured servants and slaves were taken against their will. And one of my students said, "This is very unfair. How can they be taken against their will?" "Well, what do you mean? Can you show us?" "Absolutely." I said, "Okay, how many of you are African-American?" They raised their hand. I said, "Okay, go line up the door for me, please." So they lined up by the door. I said, "If you were living during this time, you would be treated unfairly and brought to the new world against your will and forced to work." And basically what would happen is they would say, "Okay, who, let's bid 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Okay, great. Males, sit down. You're working the field. Females, sit down. You're working in the domestic household." And that was literally under 2 minutes.
2 minutes that would catapult the Tony Private School and Antonazzi into crisis mode.
My principal did call me last week, and he said that we love you as a teacher. You're employed. We just want to diffuse the situation, talk to the parents, and you'll be back at school in the classroom doing what you love. And unfortunately, that did not happen.
What happened?
I got a call last night from my lawyer
saying that unfortunately they terminated my position. Teaching is not a profession for me. It is with my life. I teach with my heart, and anyone that knows me knows that I have no ill intentions.
But Antanazi says support from the community has started to pour in.
I have over 50 references right now from parents who know me.
And some of them are now speaking out.
She's not capable of something like that based on the person that we know, given her nature, sweet, kind, loving, and she treats all kids with respect, regardless of their skin pigmentation.
And it's praise like that, Antanazi says, is carrying her through the most difficult chapter of her life.
I just want to be able to get past this.
Tara Rosenblum, News 12.
Thank you, Tara. Now, Antanazi has hired a lawyer and may file a lawsuit. The Chapel School, meanwhile, hired a New York City public relations firm who told us tonight an internal investigation is underway with the goal of creating a long-term action plan to tackle racial...
Okay, so that is from News 12 in Westchester, New York, okay? Name of that article, and we posted it here on the thread of the broadcast. I teach with my heart. Teacher pushes back amid slavery lesson firestorm. All right? Now, once again, I don't think she was purposely trying to hurt the students. I think she's trying to demonstrate, but that's a bad way to that's it. That's a bad way. And when you read things like this here, teaching American history, teaching hard history, American slavery, they tell you don't do slavery enactments, don't do mock slave auctions, things like this. Okay, even though you may have good intentions, don't do that. All right, so she was fired. Okay, she was fired. All right, so let's go back to this article here. How's everybody doing? Let's go back to this article here from the main article from Vox.com, V-O-X, Vox.com. American schools can't figure out how to teach kids about slavery. American schools can't figure out how to teach kids about slavery, all right? And also, if you like this type of information, you can donate to the African History Network, paypal.me/the AHN show, paypal.me/the AHN show, okay? That helps us to keep doing the research, stay on the air, pay the bills, etc. And we'll also post a link because I teach a online course that's on demand. It deals with understanding the transatlantic slave trade, what they didn't teach you in school. It's a 14-hour, 7-session online course. You can watch from around the world. We deal with thousands of years of history. Also deal with some of the history of the Africans known as the Moors, who are in Europe for 800 years, and that leads up to the transatlantic slave trade taking place also, okay? So we don't understand the history of the Moors, so we don't understand the history of the origins of slavery. When you understand the history of the Africans known as the Moors and what they introduced into Europe, this allows the slave trade to take place. And really, when you understand the tensions that existed between the African Moors and the Europeans in Spain, Portugal, Germany, England, etc., right? You understand the transatlantic slave trade is looking more like revenge that Europeans were getting on African people as opposed to it just being something that just dropped out of the sky, okay? You have to understand, so when I deal with the transatlantic slave trade and when we teach it, it has to be taught chronologically, not episodically. It was not an episode in history that just popped up. No. It's the result of a sequence of historical events that lead up to the transatlantic slave trade happening. And the Europeans are conquering and enslaving Moors, African Moors. Some, like in Spain, some Moors are going to flee. Some are being conquered and enslaved and taking into Spanish territories, like Florida and South Carolina, things like this, taken into Spanish territories and enslaved. So we can't start studying the transatlantic slave trade in the 1440s when the Portuguese get involved. The Portuguese were the first ones to get involved in the transatlantic slave trade. They dominated for the first 200 years. okay? We can't start in 1555 or August 20, 1619, Jamestown, Virginia. No, you got to deal with hundreds of years of history leading up to that taking place, okay? And understand a chronology of history. And unfortunately, the way it's taught, even though they have a lot of good things here in this book, in this study, this 52-page study, they're not dealing with the history of the Moors. And you can't really understand the transatlantic slave trade till you understand the history of the Moors, because the Moors are taking the teachings from ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, into Europe. And it's these teachings that bring Europe out of the Dark Ages. These Africans saved Europe. And it all came back to kick us in the behind. It all came back to kick us in the behind. Okay? All right. So, let's continue here. And we just posted the link there. You can donate to the African History Network, paypal.me/theAHN show. If you don't have a PayPal account, go to our website, africanhistorynetwork.com. Click on the yellow donate button, and you can use your debit card, credit card. And we also posted the information there dealing with the bundle pack also. It's a 10-course online on-demand bundle pack, and it includes Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Maafa, understanding the transatlantic slave trade, what they didn't teach in the school. Okay, so you can check that out as well. All right, so let's continue here. All right, how's everybody doing? Let's go to some of your comments here. We'll go back to this, and I'll share some information with you from the study as well. Okay, so we have. Anthony, we're responsible for civilizations. We're giants. Yes, that's true. Okay? And this is why, you know, we can't start the teaching of our history in slavery. I was speaking at an elementary school a few years ago, and I was speaking during African American History Month, okay? I'm working on the second computer because this first one is running slowly for some reason. I don't know why, but so I was speaking during African American History Month in February a few years ago, and I was speaking to first through fifth graders. So I'm in the hallway talking to one of the teachers afterwards, and there's a poster along the wall in the hallway of milestones in African American history, right? And they at the beginning. They show Christopher Columbus, and they say Christopher Columbus discovers America. Then right after that, they have drawings of enslaved Africans shackled in chains. And they're talking about August 20 of 1619, Jamestown, Virginia. So now they have to walk by and pass by this every day. And what it does is it ingrains in them an inferiority complex. And it shows them first coming to this country conquered by Europeans, shackled in chains. And then they talk about Columbus discovering America. Well, first of all, number one, you've heard me talk about this before, Columbus never came to the land that we call the United States of America. The closest Columbus came here was Cuba, which is 90 miles away. When you look at where Columbus went on his four voyages, starting August 3rd, 1492, when he sets sail on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, he goes into the Bahamas, he goes into Puerto Rico and Honduras and Jamaica and Panama. He doesn't come to this land we call the United States of America. Okay? Closest he comes here is Cuba, which is 90 miles away. All right, number one. Number two, he has Moors navigating some of his ships. Number three, when you read The First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence by Dr. David Imhotep, he talks about how at least 70% of the people Columbus came in contact with on his four voyages were African people already in those areas that he's going into. He goes into South America a little bit, he's in Central America, and he's in the Caribbean, okay? The First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence by Dr. David Imhotep. That's not him on the cover, okay? That's a brother from South America, all right, in the 1800s. Okay, so, and then also, get this book, Golden Age of the Moor, edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. This deals with the African Moors all throughout Europe. Okay, Golden Age of the Moor, edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. And then also, Renoko Rashidi has a really good book, and it's somewhere around here, somewhere around the office. I'm not sure where it is. I have to find it. Renoko Rashidi's book is called Black Star, the African Presence in Early Europe. And that deals with the history of the Moors. And that deals with the Moors also through Europe as well. Black Star, the African Presence in Early Europe. So you have to understand this history prior to the transatlantic slave trade starting. That's why we have to teach the history chronologically as opposed to episodically. Okay? Now, a lot of states are struggling to teach the full history of slavery. The struggle is having a big impact on students. Okay? A lot of teachers are struggling to teach the history of slavery, and this struggle is having a big impact on students. All right. Now, social media posts from angered black parents and civil rights groups have brought a number of these incidents to light in recent years, but it is unclear how widespread these sorts of activities are. What is clear, though, is at these simulations, these mock auctions and things like this, at these simulations, what is clear, though, is that these simulations fit into a larger set of difficulties across America. School systems across America have when it comes to teaching about slavery and connecting the past to current fights for racial justice. Now, a 2018 report by the Southern Poverty Law Center took a comprehensive look at this issue. This report right here. You've heard me talk about it before. Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Now, researchers surveyed students and teachers across the country, reviewed textbooks, and looked at state standards on education about slavery. All right? So what they did was they surveyed 1,000 high school seniors. They did an online survey of 1,000 high school seniors. And then also they surveyed about 1,700 social studies teachers all across the country. All right? And the report found that out of 1,000 high school seniors who were polled, only 8%, now listen to this, okay? Only 8% of high school seniors who were polled out of 1,000 identified slavery as the reason that the South seceded from the Union, sparking the Civil War. Only 8%. Now, they are actually studying history. Where most, you know, adults are busy working, things like this, so they ain't studying history as much as the students are. Only 8% of high school seniors out of 1,000, okay, and they surveyed students, if I remember correctly, is in 15 states. Researchers also discovered of the 15 states whose education certificate. But these were students across the country. Let me look at this because I first found out about this study from this article from theatlantic.com called What Kids Are Really Learning About Slavery. What Kids Are Really Learning About Slavery. And this came out in February 1st, 2018, to kick off African American History Month 2018. So in a lot of my presentations last year dealing with African American History Month, I talked about this study, okay? I talked about this study. Yeah, what kids are really learning about slavery, okay? A new report finds that the topic is mistaught and often sentimentalized, and students are alarmingly misinformed as a result, all right? So these stories, these recent stories at schools across the country show why this study is so important and shows why the way the history of slavery and history in general in our schools across the country, not just African American schools, but schools across the country, why it has to be changed, okay? That changes through policy. That changes through laws, all right? But you can download this right now when you finish watching me, splcenter.org, splcenter.org. Okay, Southern Poverty Law Center, splcenter.org, I think is their website. Southern Poverty Law Center and just search for Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Okay? And you can download this as well. And you can start teaching your children. This gives you a guide to teach your children at home also. So if you have a home school or if you just want to teach your children at home, okay, this is a good resource to start with, all right? And I think it's splcenter.org, I think it's their website. We'll research that Southern Poverty Law Center, all right? Okay. Louisiana, okay, Anthony, Lillian, okay, it froze up, okay, it's running better now. It's acting up, I don't know why. This is a laptop I got in December, and it's really upsetting. It's not working correctly. I don't know why it's freezing up. But let's continue here. All right, so the report found that out of 1,000 high school seniors polled, just 8 identified slavery as the reason the South seceded from the Union, sparking the Civil War, okay? Now, 48% said, let me stand by, 48% said that tax protests were the cause of the conflict. Pay attention to this. Now, these are high school seniors. They're going to college the next year. 48% said that tax protests were the cause of the conflict. The researchers noted that it was possible that these students were confusing the Civil War with the Revolutionary War, the American Revolutionary War. It's possible that the students were confusing the Civil War with the American Revolutionary War. Now, if you are actually in school, I'm sorry, if you're actually in school and you don't know the difference between the U.S. Civil War and the American Revolutionary War, there's a huge problem. You know, I'm sorry. They take place, American Revolutionary War is 1775 to 1783. U.S. Civil War is 1861 to 1865. Two entirely different time periods. Two different reasons for why they happened. If you don't understand the difference between the American Revolutionary War and the Civil War, there's something wrong. Okay? Now, researchers also discovered that of the 15 states, and I'm not sure what's going on here. Okay, researchers also discovered that of the 15 states whose educational standards they examined, quote, none address how the ideology of white supremacy rose to justify the institution of slavery, end quote, and that, quote, most failed to lay out meaningful requirements for learning about slavery, about the lives of the millions of enslaved people, or about how their labor was essential to the American economy. And see, this is extremely important. This is one of the things they lay out in the study, okay? Because I'm gonna give you some of their recommendations of how to more correctly teach the history of slavery. You have to relate the history of slavery to white supremacy and racism, okay? Because this is why slavery was existing. You can't teach the history of slavery in a vacuum, because white supremacy and racism are lasting legacies of slavery. So you have to connect it all together and then show how that shows up in the laws and policies that are passed after slavery. Dealing with sharecropping, black codes, Jim Crow laws, the rampant terrorism, groups like the Ku Klux Klan, the Black Legion, the Knights of the White Camellia, things like this, Reconstruction, 1865 to 1877, Compromise of 1877, understanding how slavery ties into the history of the Three-Fifths Compromise of 1787, the creation of the Electoral College, all of that. Okay? Slavery is influence and policy. This is dealing with white supremacy and racism. So we have to teach this holistically. It can't be an episode of history. When we teach about the history of slavery, it can't be removed from understanding Racism as a system of advantage and privilege distributed based upon race. Racism is a system of advantage and privilege distributed based upon race that comes out of the ideology of white supremacy. And understanding how the system of slavery maldistributed wealth, power, and resources in this country. It maldistributed wealth, power, and resources in this country into the hands of white society. All right, so all this ties into history. Okay, so let me see here, because this is acting up here, and I'm not sure why. All right, so let's continue here. All right. So the Southern Poverty Law Center report was especially critical of the use of simulations in the classroom. So obviously the teacher, now this teacher, Rebecca Antonozzi, if she actually read this study that's free, she would have her job right now. If she actually read this study that was free, she would have her job right now. Because it tells you in the study, don't do no simulations. Okay? And they argue that the simulations, quote, the simulations are, quote, not shown to be effective as a learning strategy. The report noted that simulations, quote, can harm vulnerable children. This is what the report is telling us, that the simulations can harm vulnerable children and that the trauma of such lessons is compounded for African-American children. Okay? So, it's not just up to the teachers to read this. All the schools across the country should download this and get this to their teachers. It's free. All the schools across the country should download this and get this to their teachers. Okay? SPLCenter.org. Yeah, that's the name of the website. Okay? All right, now. So, now, Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries. Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries is the nephew of one of the nephews, and one of my teachers, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. Dr. Leonard Jeffries. You've heard me talk about Dr. Jeffries many times. Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries is on the advisory board that put together this study. All right? And he said, quote, although we teach them that slavery happened, okay? Either we broadcasting again now? Is that what's happening? Although we teach them that slavery happened, we fail to provide the detail or historical context they need to make sense of its origin, okay? Evolution, demise, and legacy. All right, now he is a historian. He teaches at Ohio State University, okay? Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries, and he's one of the nephews of Dr. Leonard Jeffries. Okay? He said, although we teach them that slavery happened, we fail to provide the detail or historical context they need to make sense of its origin, evolution, demise, and legacy. So you have to teach this chronologically, okay? Ohio State University historian Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries wrote in the report, quote, and in some cases we minimize slavery's significance so much that we render its impact on people and on the nation inconsequential. Okay, all this ties into history. He said, we minimize slavery's significance so much that we render its impact on people and on the nation inconsequential. Now, he goes on to say, it's clear that the United States is still struggling with how to talk about the history of slavery and its aftermath. Okay, the researchers noted. And as controversies over lessons like the mock auction in New York and other problematic lessons from recent weeks show, this struggle is having a real effect on African-American students and their parents. It helps to traumatize them. Okay? It helps to traumatize them. Okay? So, you know, we have to do better. And the parents have to get involved with the schools. Take these studies to the schools, because parents can actually, and to the schools and also to the school board meetings. The parents can help push this from the grassroots level when you take the studies in, okay? Because they're not expecting you to come with the evidence. They're not expecting the parents to come with the studies, all right? So when we look at this study, and this article here is a really good one, what kids are really learning about slavery, all right? This is from theatlantic.com from February 1st, 2018. In that study of 1,000 high school seniors, they found that 8% of 12th graders, only 8% knew slavery was the central cause of the Civil War. 32% knew that it was the 13th Amendment that formally freed the enslaved Africans. Only 32% knew this, okay? That it took a constitution amendment to free the enslaved Africans. 35% thought that it was the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 that freed the enslaved Africans. January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation. No, it was not. Emancipation Proclamation didn't really free the enslaved Africans. It said that the slaves in the states of rebellion, the slaves in the states of the Confederacy, they were free. But the slaves in the Union, they were still slaves. The slaves in the border states, like Delaware, Maryland, Kentucky, Missouri, they were still slaves. Okay? So the Emancipation Proclamation, you can go to loc.gov, the Library of Congress website, is not what people thought it was. It's going to be the 13th Amendment, which was ratified December 6, 1865, and adopted December 18th, 1865. This is what's going to actually legally free the enslaved Africans. It took an amendment to the Constitution to do this. Okay? So, check out this study and check out the article from theatlantic.com also. All right? Now, I'm just going to share an excerpt from... I'll share an excerpt from they interviewed some teachers here in this article. So Ursula Wolf Rocha, R-O-C-C-A, is a high school U.S. history teacher in Lake Oswego, Oregon, which is a Portland suburb. And she has encountered students' common misconceptions, such as the belief that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, as we just talked about, and that the Civil War was really about states' rights. No, it wasn't. If it was, it was their right to own slaves. Now, her straightforward solution is assigning original documents. Okay, this is one of the things that they recommend also. Okay, her straightforward solution is assigning original documents. Quote, read Lincoln's first inaugural address and you do not find a fiery abolitionist, because Lincoln was not an abolitionist, okay? He thought that slavery was morally wrong, but he was confused about what to do about it. And if you go to history.com, the official website of the History Channel, read the article they have there, five facts about Abraham Lincoln, okay? Five facts about Abraham Lincoln. But someone promising to enforce the fugitive slave clause, read the Articles of Secession, and you find striking declarations from slave states that their actions are rooted in a desire to protect slavery. This is true. In their statements of secession, like Texas and Mississippi, they talk about how slavery was central to their way of life and how they wanted to protect slavery, protect their way of life. Okay? Now, in March 4th, 1861, when at Lincoln's inaugural address, Lincoln talks about how he has no intention of outlawing slavery in the states where slavery exists, and he is trying to, what he's trying to do is to keep other southern states from seceding from the Union. Okay, so in his inaugural address is delivered March 4th, 1861, Lincoln proclaimed that it was his duty to maintain the Union. That was his focus, on maintaining the Union. The South has seceded from the Union, starting with South Carolina, on December 20th, 1860. And they seceded from the Union about 6 weeks after Lincoln became president-elect, November 6th, 1860. Okay, so then by February 1st of 1861, you had six more states that seceded from the Union: Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas. Okay, and you know, they're going to elect Jefferson Davis, who was a Mississippi senator, elect him as president of the Confederacy, the Confederate States of America, the CSA. So Lincoln is trying to keep other southern states from leaving the Union, because the Union was the economic engine of the U.S. This is where the majority, not all of them, but the majority of the plantations were. This is where the you know, you have the large farms, large plantations. They're producing the crops. They're producing cotton. Cotton is being sent up north to the textile mills, etc. Right. So Lincoln is trying to bring the South back into the Union, which was the economic engine of the Union. So Lincoln declared that he had no intention of ending slavery in the states where slavery existed, and he had no intention of repealing the Fugitive Slave Law either. And this was a position that horrified African Americans and their white allies, African American abolitionists, especially Frederick Douglass, was horrified by this. Now, Lincoln's statement, however, did not satisfy the Confederacy. And on April 12, 1861, the Confederacy, they attacked Fort Sumter, which was a federal stronghold in Charleston, South Carolina. And this started the Civil War. This is when the Civil War began, April 12, 1861. Okay, and you had federal troops that returned fire, okay, against the Southerners, and this starts the Civil War. PBS.org has a good article dealing with this, The Civil War and Emancipation, The Civil War and Emancipation, PBS.org, Public Broadcasting System, okay? So check that out. All right, so when we look at this, and once again, everybody visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. All of our DVD lectures are there. We have bundle packs, a lot of information. You can also sign up for the online courses I teach. We have them in the bundle pack. They're on demand. Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school. Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school, okay? That's a 8 DVD bundle pack. No, no, sorry. That's an online course, 10 course online bundle pack. And it's on demand. Watch them around the world. Okay? Watch them around the world. All right. So, the teacher, Ursula Wolf Rocha, who's a high school U.S. history teacher in Oregon, she said, she echoed the reports, teachers, respondents, in stressing the inherent challenges in tackling the subject of teaching the history of slavery. Now, as a white teacher, she admittedly struggles with presenting an unsanitized version of slavery that does not desensitize her students, okay, to the violence and pain of African Americans. Okay, she struggles with presenting an unsanitized version of slavery that does not desensitize her students to the violence and pain of African Americans. She said, quote, kids walk into my class knowing about slavery, but their recitation of this knowledge is dull, lifeless, and bored, okay? She said it has the feel of something memorized and rote, R-O-T-E, rather than internalized and meaningful. She says she uses personal narratives of enslaved people to teach the ugliness and injustice of the past while being, quote, careful to keep the rape and whipping to a minimum, end quote. Enslaved narratives are a good source also as well. You can read, you can start with Frederick Douglass, he wrote three autobiographies. You can start with his first one, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, okay. Right now, if we look at an article from AtlantaBlackStar.com, this is from February 10th, 2018. Most states failed to cover 10 topics recommended to provide students a clear understanding of slavery. Some scored a zero. Most states failed to cover 10 topics recommended to provide students a clear understanding of slavery. Some scored a zero. This is from February 10th, 2018. And this article deals with this study, once again, from the Southern Poverty Law Center, okay, Teaching Hard History of American Slavery. And in the study, you know, in the article, you know, they talk some about the study and the problem with teaching the history, etc. And they lay out 10 of the recommendations, okay? Let's see here. 10 core concepts. And the 10 core concepts are on page 16 of the study here. It says key concepts is on page 16 of the study, okay? The SPLC's findings support the teacher's beliefs. The report found that of the 10 textbooks reviewed, because they also reviewed textbooks in the study, only 2 came close to properly covering the history of slavery. And even those texts needed improvement, okay? Moreover, states were widely inconsistent in their curriculum requirements for teaching the subject. 10 core concepts were put together by historian Ira Berlin in his foreword to the book Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. These concepts were later used by teaching tolerance. The teaching tolerance is the initiative that put together this study, teaching tolerance, as the basis for thinking through the report, okay? So the 10 key concepts are, and I'll read them actually from the study, okay? Slavery, number one, slavery which was practiced by Europeans prior to their arrival in the Americas was important to all of the colonial powers and existed in all of the European North American colonies, okay? So you have to teach about how important slavery was, okay? The economics of it. There were at least 262 skills, trades, and crafts that African people had in this country from 1619 up until 1865. There are at least 262 skills, trades, and crafts. There's a book called The Other Slaves, Craftsmen, Artisans. It's by Ronald Lewis and one other person. It came out in 1978. Okay, The Other Slaves, Artisans, Craftsmen, something like that. Okay, and it details all of the skills, trades, and crafts that we had in this country from 1619 up until 1865. And these are going to be, you know, everything from anchor makers to engineers, barrel makers, basket makers, beer makers, barbers, anchor makers, blacksmiths, coppersmiths, furniture makers, hemp baggers, all different types of skills, trades, and crafts, dealing with agriculture, planting crops, understanding how to plant cotton, etc. Okay, working on the railroad, working in sawmills, a lot of types of dangerous work, coal mines, a lot of those types of dangerous jobs, enslaved Africans did those. And then after the Civil War ends, 1865, now you're going to have a lot of labor unions that are created, like the National Labor Union is created in 1866. And these labor unions are created largely to lock African Americans out of the jobs that we have been doing for free, okay, for 246 years. All right, if we look at the article from MSN.com, students don't know slavery was a central cause of the Civil War, report shows. This is about this report also. This is from February 2nd, 2018. And they quote Dr. Hassan Kwame Jeffries once again. He said, quote, "It's important that everyone understand that slavery is truly at the foundation and formation of this nation. Slavery is truly at the foundation and formation of this nation." Okay. He said, "You can't really understand the American past or present without having a good grasp of the role that slavery played in this country." All right, so slavery was, so number one, key concepts. Slavery, which was practiced by Europeans prior to their arrival in the Americas, was important to all of the colonial powers and existed in all of the European North American colonies. Number two, slavery and the slave trade were central to the development and growth of the economy across British North America and later the United States. Okay, number three, protections for slavery were embedded in the founding documents. Protections for slavery were embedded in the founding documents, and slavers dominated the federal government, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Senate from 1787 to 1860, okay, about an 80-year period of time. Enslavers dominated the federal government, the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. and the U.S. Senate from 1787 to 1860. Number four, slavery was an institution of power. Slavery was an institution of power designed to create profit for the enslavers and break the will of the enslaved, and was a relentless quest for profit abetted by racism. A relentless quest for profit abetted by racism. Number five, key concept. These are things that have to be taught when we deal with the history of slavery. Enslaved people resisted the efforts of their enslavers to reduce them to commodities in both revolutionary and everyday ways. Okay? Number six, the experience of slavery varied depending on time, location, the crop that was being planted on that plantation, labor performed, size of slave holding, and gender. So the number of slaves on the plantation, okay? In general, you know, slavery was more brutal the deeper into the South you went. So depending upon which, so you have the severity of slavery, the experience of slavery varied depending upon time period, depending upon location, depending upon size of plantation, different things like this. Number seven, slavery was the central cause of the Civil War, which we talked about. Number eight, slavery shaped the fundamental beliefs of Americans about race and whiteness. Slavery shaped the fundamental beliefs of Americans about race and whiteness. And white supremacy was both a product and legacy of slavery. So when we talk about the history of slavery, we teach it in school, we have to deal with white supremacy and racism. Number nine, enslaved and free people of African descent had a profound impact on American culture, producing leaders and literary, artistic, and folk traditions that continue to influence the nation, Number 10, by knowing how to read and interpret the sources that tell the story of American slavery, we gain insight into some of what enslaving and enslaved Americans aspired to, created, thought, thought and desire. Number 10, by knowing how to read and interpret the sources that tell the story of American slavery, we gain insight into some of what enslaving and enslaved Americans, Africans, aspired to, created, thought, and desired. Okay? It helps to humanize them as well. All right? So that's those 10 concepts in a nutshell. That's on page 16 of the study. And when you read 16 through, I guess, 18, they go deeper into those 10 concepts. All right? So check that out. Okay. But this is very serious. Download this study, splcenter.org. And you know, search for Teaching Hard History American Slavery. Teaching Hard History American Slavery. Look at these articles I shared with you. And we have to take this, parents have to take this these studies, take these articles, take this type of information to their children's schools, meet with the teachers, the principals, go to the school board meetings. If, when parents are pushing from the grassroots level, pushing up, they can get a lot of this stuff implemented into the schools, okay? And the main article I talked about is called American Schools Can't Figure Out How to Teach Kids About Slavery. That's from Vox.com, V-O-X, Vox.com, March 13, 2019. All right, now, African-American business owners, email us at customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll let you know how to... we'll let you know how to, you can advertise with the African History Network. We take your 30-second to 60-second audio commercial. We put it into the audio podcast of our show, our Sunday night show, the African History Network show. Also podcasts we do throughout the week. We're on, now it's 8 different podcast platforms. We're on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, FM Player, TuneIn. And each episode reaches thousands of people across the country. So email us at customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. They have a special promotion for a limited time only. Buy one month, get one month free. Okay? customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. So if you're an African-American business owner, whether you have a bookstore, whether you have a brick and mortar store or e-commerce, if you sell clothing, if you have an event coming up and you're bringing in a lecturer, a scholar, Dr. Claude Anderson, Professor Kaba Kamane, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Professor James Small, what have you, you want to advertise with the African History Network. Email us, customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, okay? All right, and be sure to listen to the African History Network show every Sunday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 9:10 a.m. the Superstation. If you visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, you can click on the link there, listen to podcasts, and we have almost over 900 audio podcasts of our show. We just celebrated our 9th year anniversary of broadcasting the African History Network show. That was March 10th, 2019. And April of 2019 will be our 3-year anniversary of doing the African History Network show on 9:10 a.m. the Superstation WFDF in Detroit. Okay? Okay, so also you can donate to the African History Network. That helps to make these broadcasts possible, helps us to keep doing the research, stay on the air, do our Sunday night show, pay the bills, everything, okay? paypal.me/the AHN show, paypal.me/the AHN show. Those in the DMV area, okay, I'll be in Baltimore at the, I'll be at the Baltimore Natural Hair Care Expo. That's at the 5th Regiment Armory, 219 29th Division Street in Baltimore, Maryland, 219 29th Division Street in Baltimore, Maryland. I'll be there for the Baltimore Natural Hair Care Expo, Saturday, March 30th, Sunday, March 31st. I'll be doing, I'll be a vendor there. I'm there pretty much each year, and I'll be a workshop presenter. So March is Women's History Month, so I'll deal with great African women in history, the mothers of civilization, and then I'll also deal with the role of black women in the film Black Panther. Okay, great African women in history, the mothers of civilization, and the role of black women in the film Black Panther. Okay, so I'll be doing workshops both days. And also, we have my DVD lectures as well, available at our website. So we have, and I have them at my vendor table there also. We have Great African Women in History, the Mothers of Civilization. This is a four-hour presentation where I deal with some well-known and not-so-well-known African women in our history. We have The Light of Ancient Egypt Awakens the African Mind. The Light of Ancient Egypt Awakens the African Mind to Economic Empowerment. I deal with the connections between ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet. You see here the Washington Monument. That's an ancient African symbol called a tekken. The Greeks called it an obelisk. It's a symbol of resurrection. It comes out of the story of Osiris, Aset, and Heru, who the Greeks called Osiris, Isis, and Horus. Talk about the African Moors in Europe, and they're taking the teachings of ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, into Europe. And you know, we deal with this is Aset right here, who the Greeks called Isis, with the baby Heru, born on December 25th. So we deal with all that history, tie that into economic empowerment also. I have my presentations dealing with the film Black Panther as well, a Black Panther analysis for children, a Black Panther analysis for children, African culture, history, and Afrofuturism. So I was presenting to 60 children, 5th through 12th grade. In that presentation, I'm breaking down the film Black Panther, showing how the film relates to African history, African culture, African language. The film, the word Wakanda is a real word. The word Wakanda is a real word. It's not a made-up word, even though Wakanda is a fictitious place, okay? Wakanda means possesses secret powers in the Omaha, Ponca, and Sioux Indian Native American languages. We have this one here. It's almost 3-hour presentation. A Black Panther analysis, African culture, history, and Afrofuturism. A Black Panther analysis, African culture, history, and Afrofuturism, where I break down the film. I show how the film relates to African history, African culture, African languages, spiritual systems, and deal with some of the background history of the Black Panther comic book, because you have to understand the Black Panther comic book to actually understand the movie. We have Redistribute the Pain, how African Americans historically fought back with economic boycotts. Redistribute the Pain, how African Americans historically fought back with economic boycotts. So I deal with historical examples of us using different types of economic withdrawal strategies to fight back against white supremacy and racism. This is a 4-hour presentation. That's at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com also. And we have these, a lot of these in a bundle pack. Check out the check out our Black Panther bundle pack. It's a DVD, and we have them on digital downloads also, okay? The Racist History of the White National Anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. The Racist History of the White National Anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. As well, this deals with the history of the National Anthem, the history of the Pledge of Allegiance. Francis Scott Key, who wrote the National Anthem, September 13, 1814, during the War of 1812. And I tie all that history into Colin Kaepernick's protests also, because you have to understand this history to really understand Colin Kaepernick's protests. The distortion of the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the revolutionary, will not be televised on the television. Okay, so I deal with the revolutionary Dr. King, the one they don't show us on the TV or the television. I deal with his, the real history of the I Have a Dream speech, because one of the original names of the speech was a canceled check. The speech was not originally called I Have a Dream. The focus of the speech wasn't even on a dream. Okay, we totally misunderstand what he was talking about. Malcolm X, 50 years later, why is he still relevant? Malcolm X, 50 years later, why is he still relevant? Deals with a lot of Malcolm's history, ties that into conscious hip hop. It deals with why Malcolm is so powerful, why we must study Malcolm and Dr. King. Malcolm X sent a letter to Dr. King July 31st, 1963, the month before the March on Washington, which was August 28th, 1963. And Malcolm was requesting a meeting with Dr. King and also the civil rights leaders. And Malcolm was calling for a unification of the civil rights leaders and of their followers. Malcolm said that if Nikita Khrushchev could meet with John F. Kennedy, Nikita Khrushchev being the prime minister of Russia at the time, Soviet Union, he said if they could put aside their major differences and meet, then Negro leaders should be able to put aside their minor differences and meet. He said, we have to find a common solution to a common problem posed by a common enemy. Malcolm was calling for a unification of the civil rights leaders while he was still, in the Nation of Islam, okay? Malcolm was calling for a unification of the civil rights leaders while he was still in the Nation of Islam. He wasn't suspended from the Nation until, it was because of his comments about the assassination of President Kennedy, assassinated November 22nd, 1963. And he's going to officially separate from the Nation of Islam March 8, 1964. And it's going to be March 26, 1964, later in that same month, that he meets Dr. King for the first and only time at the U.S. Senate debate for the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Okay? So, and then also we have this one here, Human Guinea Pigs, the History of the Tuskegee Experiment on the Negro Male. This deals with the history of the Tuskegee Experiment of Untreated Syphilis on the Negro Male. And that was called the Tuskegee Experiment. And I deal with the real history of it because a lot of people misunderstand it. They did not inject the men with syphilis. All the men in the study did not have syphilis also, okay? And it was supposed to last, the study was supposed to last between 6 to 9 months, ended up lasting 40 years. So I deal with the real history behind the Tuskegee Experiment of Untreated Syphilis on the Negro Male, and how it was exposed, why it was exposed, etc. And then also, we have Ancient Kemet, so we have the 4.5 hour DVD lecture, okay, and I think this is on sale on the website, $15, it's 4.5 hours. Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the on the website, I think it's Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach in school, and this is how the online course started. The online course is more extensive, but this is a good intro to it. It's a 2 DVD set, 4.5 hours, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach in school. Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school, okay? And it started out as a presentation that I did a few years ago, a 4.5 hour presentation, and then it evolved into a more extensive online course, all right? Okay, so that's all at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We have some bundle packs there on the website with these DVDs in it as well. We have the Black Panther 8 digital download bundle pack that includes a lot of these presentations. And there's also a Black Panther DVD bundle pack that includes a lot of these presentations also. All right. So AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. That helps us to keep doing the research, stay on the air, pay the bills. When I go to these different events, I usually have to pay my way out of state, like Baltimore, so that helps to help finance all of that. All right, so we have to get out of here. Remember, at the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world, because right knowledge corrects your own behavior. What you do for yourself, what you do to yourself, and what you allow other people to do to you and get away with is based upon what you think about yourself, okay? Visit the website naturalhaircareexpo.com, naturalhaircareexpo.com, for more information about the Baltimore Natural Hair Care Expo. This will all be Saturday, March 30th, Sunday, March 31st. If you're in the DMV area and you want me to do a presentation for your group or organization around that time, contact me, customer service at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll make it happen because I'll be in that area, okay? All right, remember, right now is correct your own behavior. It's not over till we win. Wakanda forever. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace.